Hello, everyone. This is the first edition of Perspective, a show where we discuss politics primarily from a libertarian point of view, current issues and events in relation to liberty, lifestyle matters, health matters, people making the news, and some other topics that might come about. Let me take this time to thank the Liberty Works Radio Network for allowing me this time. We are here today with Wes Benedict, the Executive Director for the National Libertarian Party here in Washington. Wes, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. To give my audience a background, where and when did you grow up, and what did you saw that influenced your perspectives on liberty?
I was born in Baton Rouge and raised there, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Okay. When I was 18, I moved to Austin, Texas to go to the University of Texas for and work on a mechanical engineering degree. I'd say growing up, my family was what you'd probably consider conservative, usually voted Republican, and I was aware of that and learned some from my family in that way. And I consider myself a hardcore Republican for many years when I was in college. But there was times when I would question what Republicans were doing, didn't necessarily agree with all of their issues. And finally, when I moved up to Michigan to go to graduate school, I started questioning the Republican Party heavily and found out about the Libertarian Party. And eventually became a member after finding about the party in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But certainly growing up in the South, Southern Baptist, Christian, white, straight, male, I was the typical Southern Republican, and that certainly, affected my views and affected how I thought about things. When you're that kind of person, things like civil liberties and minority rights don't affect you personally so much. You're part of the majority. I was mostly concerned about economic issues, free trade, free markets. I thought welfare was corrupting. A lot of traditional things you'd hear from Republicans. But it took me a while to learn more about civil liberties, personal freedoms. I had questioned the war on things like the war on drugs, but you would read about that sometimes in conservative magazines like Forbes magazine or National Review. But it wasn't until I became a libertarian that I really started learning a lot about civil liberties, and a lot of that was from Harry Brown when he ran for president in 96 and 2000.
I know that Harry Brown brought a lot of people on to this movement. Of course, I'll give you a little bit about my background. I was born in Buffalo, New York, but raised in, from the time I was 3 and a half, I was raised in Laurel, Maryland, and that's where I live today. And I don't know exactly what got my interest, what involved me, in libertarianism exactly, but I always knew that I was fiscally conservative, but on social issues, I tend to be quite liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be a little, I never knew quite where I fit in. I remember, I'll admit, in 1983 when I turned 18, I registered Republican just because it was the lesser of evils, in my not so humble opinion, and I wanted to vote in the primaries. I didn't feel secure with either group. It's like I felt like a fish out of water,
Right.
I will admit that I voted for Reagan, and I will admit that I voted for Bush, George H.W. Bush, the first time.
Uh-huh.
I did not repeat that mistake in 1992, and we'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah.
But, in 1980, but oddly enough, in 1988, I remember coming home from work, and I was listening to a radio station out of Baltimore, and they had, I believe, Andre Marou, who was the Libertarian vice presidential candidate that year. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I had with in that election is my view of the world, especially towards foreign policy, was a bit different at that time. I was like, hey, if we got to go over someplace and kick some butt, let's do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was where my biggest, that's where my biggest,
hang up with the Libertarian Party.
Exactly. At that time, it was, yeah. That was my biggest thing.
When I was a Republican, I was a very pro-war Republican.
Yeah. Oh, when the Gulf War I happened, I'm like, okay, if we're gonna do this, let's do it right. Let's not mess up like we did in Vietnam. Okay, I'm like, and George Bush, you know, was saying this is not gonna be another Vietnam, and I believed him. And
yeah, that was the way I would feel about it back then as well.
Yeah,
I've changed since then. But.
Right. Well, so have I. About in 1991, I had our then governor, William Donald Schaefer, was pushing through a number of gun bans. And a friend of mine who is a big-time gun enthusiast said, you know, asked me for a couple of these rallies, are you doing anything? I said, no. It's like, you're coming with us. We need bodies. And so there were two rallies in 1991 and one in 1992 where we were protesting Schaefer's encroachments. And at the two rallies in 1991, I didn't see any libertarian activists. But at the rally in 1992, I did meet a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the guy, it's like, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about you. Can you give me more information? And he gave me some stuff, and I held on to it. When Perot threw his hat in the ring, I thought to myself, well, maybe he'll be all right. And I will admit, I ignored the substance and looked at the rhetoric. But once I found out what Perot was all about, and I found out about this on a talk show, I said, to heck with this. I'm getting on the libertarian bandwagon. I'm staying there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my, and I've been a libertarian activist since then.
Yeah.
And I've met some wonderful people along the way. Go ahead.
That's good. I was just a few years behind you, I guess. I voted for George Bush, the first one, and I heard him talking about leave my lips, no new taxes, and I said, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long after that he agreed to allow legislation to go into effect that ended up raising taxes. And so, you know, that was kind of, he went down in flames over that read my lips, no new taxes. It's like, okay, we read your lips and now we see your actions. So that made me furious. But again, that was an economic issue, you know, taxes. And I was furious with him, kind of hopeful with Ross Perot, although, again, I didn't agree with all his issues. He seemed kind of vague on a lot of what he wanted to do. He wanted to reform government and focus on the deficit, which was a good thing, but he didn't sound like he was necessarily just for lower taxes, you know, he was for having taxes and spending meat so there's not a deficit. He wasn't dedicated to smaller government, but I still voted for him. That was my first time to go against Republicans. And you know, when you're a Republican or Democrat, and you've been one for many years, it's very hard to look at your own thing. You know, if I'm a Republican, it's hard for me to look at what Republicans do and say, we're wrong. It's, you know, it's your team, you're part of it. You spend so much time hating the other team, hating the Democrats. Or if you're a Democrat, you spend so much time hating Republicans, it's hard to see anything wrong with your own party or anything right with the other party. Libertarians are much better at that because they're not tied to either one of those two parties. But I felt like there's no way I could vote for a Democrat. I was convinced that Democrats were worse than Republicans, but I voted for Ross Perot. That was something I could do. It wasn't until several years ago that I could actually say the words that Bush grew government faster than Clinton, a Democrat. You know, both Bushes. And that's something that I have, you know, I can easily say that now, but there's lots of Republicans where if you say George Bush grew government faster than Clinton, Clinton was more of a small government president than either George Bush. A lot of Republicans, they cannot comprehend that. They could not repeat what I just said because they couldn't hear it and digest it. So I certainly, you know, I was a Republican, very upset with George Bush, the first one, voted for Ross Perot, didn't mind that Clinton beat Bush, and then later, during the Clinton years, I found out more about the Libertarian Party. And believe it or not, one of the first things I remember about hearing about libertarians is when I was a subscriber to the Limbaugh Letter. That's Rush Limbaugh. He used to send out a publication, the Limbaugh Letter.
I remember that.
Do you have?
Oh, yes.
I think you pay for that. You know, it's not just the free radio. You pay for subscription. I think I got that for about 5 years, you know, where I paid my own money for that. But I remember reading in there an interview with Milton Friedman, and I was a big Milton Friedman fan because he was for free markets and free trade. And I remember Limbaugh saying, well, Milton Friedman, you're a conservative or something like that. And Milton Friedman corrected him and said, I'm not a conservative, I'm a libertarian. But in any case, you know, and then the conversation went on. But I just remember libertarian, Milton Friedman, I like that association. Probably if I'd heard libertarian in before that, I would think liberal or something. You know, it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean smaller government. I didn't know what it meant. But I knew I liked Milton Friedman. I liked the, and I knew he had said libertarian. And so I kind of finally went on the internet in around 96 and found out what it was. And then around a week, around that same time frame, stumbled across a libertarian booth on the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor campus. And there was a gentleman there handing out the world's smallest political quiz. And I took the quiz right there. I did not score a perfect 100-100 libertarian. I wasn't 100% libertarian, but I was up there, and I was happy to see that, and I was motivated and interested. And I ended up joining the party a few weeks later, in September of 2006.
Yeah, I think...
I'm sorry, 1996.
I think the first time I scored on the world's smallest political quiz, I was like 80-50 or 80-60.
Okay, yeah.
So...
I think I did better than you, but
okay. Okay.
But it wasn't 100-100.
Like I said, I will admit that, you know, I saw what Jimmy Carter was all about, and I saw what, and I wasn't crazy about Ronald Reagan,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, you know, I felt, you know, Reagan was just, you know, I mean, Reagan wasn't great on civil liberties, but he was decent on economics, and I saw this country turn around somewhat under Reagan, not total, not the way I would have liked to have seen it, but
yeah.
We probably elaborated on this. What do you think it means to be a libertarian?
Well, libertarians are people who support liberty, and you know, we're for small government on all issues, whether it's economic issues or personal issues. But just the simple definition of libertarian is a person who supports liberty.
Okay. I'd like to talk about some criticisms of the party, and you know, specifically, you know, you hit on something in the first part here that I think that we really need to discuss, and the criticisms of the party in that we are morally bankrupt. Now, you say you come from a Southern Baptist background,
right?
And you are personally conservative, I guess. You know, in your own personal views or not so.
Well, I am somewhat conservative in my personal views,
okay.
What is important is what my views are of the role of government.
Okay.
So things like morality, that's between you, your community, your family. If you're religious is, you know, it's a matter between you and your God or your religion or whatever. To me, it should not be the role of government to be involved in that and to dictate morals. And I think that's consistent with what libertarians believe. So I don't want to claim that I'm an example of good morality. You know, I'm a poorly behaving good person, I guess you could say that. So you won't find me standing up saying I'm a model of good behavior or morals. But it's just, you know, what I think is right morally, and then what I think is the role of government is I try and make that clear and make that distinction. And
yeah.
So that's how I think. The government should not be involved in banning abortion. The government should not ban use of drugs. The government should not ban any kind of marriage, you know, gay marriage or whatever. That's not the role of government. If you don't like those things, then it's fine to work and persuade folks. That's what a lot of religious folks have done that weren't totalitarians over the centuries. They preach and persuade. They don't pass laws and and dictate.
You're listening to Perspective on the Liberty Works Radio Network. We'll be back in a moment. This is Perspective, and we are back on the Liberty Works Radio Network with Wes Benedict, the Executive Director of the National Libertarian Party. And we were just talking with Wes about how religious leaders should not dictate government policy.
That's a frequent criticism in our stances on civil liberties that we get from the so-called the right.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, you want to legalize this, that, and the other thing. Of course, we also get it from the left on, you know, economic liberties, you know, and I think that what people think is, you know, if we legislate everything out of existence, it's going to go away, and that doesn't happen.
Right. Not only does it not work to pass laws that ban things, it usually doesn't work, but it also, to me, it's not a moral approach, and you will find there are people of various religions in the Libertarian Party, but obviously there's lots of the main religions. There's lots of Christians in the Libertarian Party. There's lots of Jews in the Libertarian Party. Lots of atheists as well. And there's many Christians who would be much better spokesmen than me on how this works and how the libertarian philosophy, the political philosophy, and the Christian philosophy don't conflict in their minds or in the way they describe it. But basically, it's, you know, if government comes in and starts dictating morals, when you're replacing church and you're replacing a relationship with your God with government, you're taking government and replacing God or your church or your morals or your family with laws. And to many Christians, they would say that's immoral. That's not the role of government.
Very interesting.
And I will say, another remarkable thing about the Libertarian Party is that we've got Christians, atheists, and Jews, and others who work together on government policies. They don't agree on religion, they don't agree on the meaning of life, but they just agree on the role of government. So, you know, I came from Austin, Texas not too long ago. The chairman of the Texas Libertarians is a very active Catholic. The chairman of the Travis County, Texas Libertarians is an atheist. And yet there's almost no conflict on when we're working on policies. You know, the between the two of them, they agree. I mean, you know, the role of government is stay out.
Of course, trying to convince some of these people, mainstream Americans, if that's the case, doesn't seem to work very well. How do you try to win people over?
Right, there's a lot of folks who say they want to pass laws that fit their particular moral beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and I think the way to change that is to convince them that their moral beliefs, the way to implement their moral beliefs is not through government, and they need to go back and check their religion and see what they really advocate.
Yeah.
Maybe if they learn more about their own religion, they might agree more with what libertarians say is the role of government.
Okay. I'd like to touch on some current events, if I may.
Okay.
This past election, what do you think was the, I guess, overall message? What were your thoughts on it?
Well, look, just looking at the big picture, I think the main message was people were scared of Obama and scared about the economy, and so a lot of them voted against him, and that meant voting Republican in many cases, and in some cases voting Libertarian. It wasn't a breakthrough election for the Libertarian Party. We did grow a little bit. We got a few more votes. Some of our percentages went up a little bit, but it was certainly not a breakthrough for the Libertarian Party. And I do want to see that. I want us to grow win more elections and get much higher vote percentages, but it just didn't happen this time. And certainly the Tea Party had a big influence on folks of creating distrust of Obama and distrust of the Democrats. But I think now, with it being a more balanced at the national level, once again people will take a closer look at what Republicans do as well, and realize Republicans are bad too. Democrats are bad. Republicans are bad. Libertarians are good. That's the case we're trying to make.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times what happens is people are so scared when, you know, they see the country going in a certain direction.
Right.
So they figure, you know, vote the bums out, you know, yeah. And it doesn't matter who. I mean, it's, you know, look what happened in 2006 and 2008. I mean,
right. Major, Republicans were slaughtered, you know.
Exactly.
People didn't want more of George Bush after 8 years, and McCain was going to be similar to him, and they voted against that.
And what's worse is, you know, of course they, well, I mean, maybe not for us, but, you know, we had people, I mean, a lot of congressmen were also defeated in both the Senate and House.
Right, right. Both in the last two elections, in both of the last two elections.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think people are happy with the Republicans or Democrats. They're voting more based on fear, and I do think if the Libertarian Party needs to convince folks, look longer term and vote Libertarian to send a clear message, if that's what you're for. And, you know, I think a lot of folks do agree with our message. A lot more agree with us than actually vote for us so far.
Okay, the real question is, how are we going to be able to do that?
I don't have a magical answer that's for sure going to happen, because people have been working on that for many years. When I was in Texas, I focused on recruiting lots of candidates to get our message out. The more candidates we have, the more our message gets out. When someone files to run for Congress as a Libertarian or state representative or a city election, they get on the ballot and they immediately become, instead of just another individual activist or a person at a rally, now they have this soapbox. You know, they're occasionally on television speaking about what the Libertarian Party stands for, speaking about liberty issues in general, and they sometimes in the newspaper, sometimes on television. But I think it's just more and more of us have to speak out and speak about the Libertarian Party and to help grow it. And I don't know the perfect message to tell someone, you know, that convinces them, okay, I'll vote Libertarian. Different things work for different people, but I think, you know, it's getting more of us out there advocating for the party, and also trying different things to see what works.
Okay. With the current direction that our country is going, what are your thoughts?
Well, our economy is not doing so well. We've been in a recession for a while. Maybe the numbers say we're just coming out of it, but certainly not very well. I just see us getting, I can't remember which founding father said it or who said it, but the natural progression of things is for government to get bigger. Same thing happening, you know, it's just more and more rules and bureaucracy and hoops to jump through. It's not just a thing unique to government. It happens to a lot of organizations as well. I remember in business school hearing of how Jack Welch, the CEO of General Electric, GE, he was always out there saying, we've got to cut bureaucracy, we've got to cut bureaucracy. He was talking about in his own company. He wasn't talking about the government. If you think about it, anywhere you've worked, it's really, it's kind of natural and normal to make more rules, more lists of checklists, more policies, more this department has to do that to make sure this department gets this thing done. And I just see that happening with the United States right now, especially where the government's involved. More and more regulations, and always considering adding more on top of that. More banking regulations. If you're a small business owner, there's always more and more rules and forms and papers to fill out. If you build homes, city governments pile on more and more rules. So it's just getting harder and harder to make simple things happen. And So anyway, I just see us getting mired in bureaucracy. It happened to the Soviet Union, and they finally collapsed. It was something, they couldn't afford to sustain all these satellite countries and their empire. But I don't see us collapsing like that. We don't dictate to other countries so much what they have to do. I just see our standard of living just gradually going downhill, like this happens with some other countries, you know, in world history.
Well, I tell you, I'm also concerned about the way things are going right now. But, you know, a lot of people say, you know, that if the free market reigns,
then we'll have, you know, company towns. There's going to be a wide gap between rich and poor. And I think what people fail to realize is how much corporate welfare plays into government policy. You know, I hear Rush Limbaugh, you know, one of his infamous claims is, it's the conservatism stupid. I disagree. It's the corporate welfare stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly libertarians are against corporate welfare, and corporate welfare involves things like giving subsidies or special tax breaks to big businesses. In a free market, which is what libertarians support, you don't favor a particular business, whether it's big business or small business, over others. You were for a level playing field, hopefully with a minimal amount of regulations and taxes. Once you start handing out special favors to companies, then the companies have a big interest in what government decides, and they start lobbying each other for benefits. Corporation helps elect the politician gives favors to the company or business, and that's how government grows. And that's been written about for decades. That's not some new libertarian idea. But it's not something a lot of people think about that often. But big businesses, whether it's big oil businesses, they're in favor of rules that make it harder for alternative forms of energy. They're also in favor of rules that make it harder for smaller businesses to get started in a particular industry. So, you know, in the auto industry is another example. They may favor regulations that require crash tests of 100 cars. Well, if you're selling a million cars, crashing 100 is not a big deal. But if you want to start a small business that sells 500 custom cars and you have to crash 100 just to meet some safety regulation, well, that makes it almost impossible for you to compete. You can't compete unless you're a huge business. So, yeah, the corporate welfare, special favors for business is a bad thing, and it's something that it's business and government getting together and hurting the rest of the competition, which hurts the average person.
Right. You mentioned all companies, particularly, because that's an area that I'm somewhat familiar with, and I've become a big advocate of hemp for fuel. Mm-hmm. Just among other things.
Okay.
And all we would need, and maybe people would say, oh, you're full of it and all that. All we would need is something like 6 to 10% of the farmable land, and even some marginal land used for hemp farming. We could take care of virtually all of our energy needs and all of our industrial needs.
Okay. And I'm not familiar with how productive or how useful that product is, but certainly I think that it's normal for competitors of a particular product to work to prevent it from being legal to grow it or adopt it, and so they're gonna come up with things like, oh, this product is just like marijuana, everyone's gonna smoke it and it's gonna destroy our country if you allow this in. Well, you know, people said that about all kinds of technology over the years, and it's always they use scare tactics to prevent competition. But certainly we should legalize hemp and for whatever purposes people find to use it here in the U.S. and our economy would be better. And if it's not any good, if it's a useless product, you still don't need rules against it or laws against it. No one will.
The market will decide.
Yeah, let the market decide if it's truly a worthless product.
Okay. A couple of people will say that, the NAFTA and GATT are elements of the free market, and that sending businesses over, outside the country is part of the free market. I think that it's possible to bring business back into the country with the right incentives. Your thoughts on the matter, or those matters?
As a libertarian, I'm for free trade and free markets, but that includes free trade between individuals in different countries. GATT, that's the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs or whatever, it has to do with some amount of regulating of trade between countries, and NAFTA is something that's more recent, but was big in the news 10 years ago or so, the North American Free Trade Agreement, with where we attempted to bring down barriers to trade between Canada, the United States, and Mexico.
You're listening to Perspective on the Liberty Works Radio Network. This is the Liberty Works Radio Network, and we're back here on Perspective with Wes Benedict, the Executive Director of the National Libertarian Party, where we were discussing free trade.
I'm for free trade, and in some ways those agreements may have made some trade of some products freer, but they're also agreements that we don't need. I learned some of this from Ron Paul, just reading about what he's written or said about these issues. You know, he's for free trade, but against these kind of agreements. And I agree with that approach. America should have a free trade policy, and we don't need to worry if other countries do or not. When you set up barriers to trade, when you put tariffs on your own on foreign products or limits, 90% of that damage, and I'm just bringing up this number, I'm making up this number, but it's reasonable. 90% of the damage is self-inflicted, and only some of the damage is caused to other, to the outsiders. So I am for unilateral free trade. With these trade agreements, special interests get special favors. So like the sugar industry in the United States, with NAFTA, got additional barriers to imports of sugar from Mexico and other countries. So, we have a protectionist stance on sugar in the United States. And I'm against that. It drives up the price of sugar. We end up using corn sweetener and other products in a lot of our drinks and other soft drinks and other products. But I'm for actual free trade, not given special privileges to any particular product. And I think with free trade, you would have, if we have fairly free trade, or I don't know if you realize this or agree with it or not, but America has a relatively free trade economy. We have some tariffs on some things. I think the freer your economy, the better your trade, and you might have more manufacturing as a result. But I don't think we'd have a lot more manufacturing. And I don't think the goal should be to maximize the manufacturing that you do. We used to have farming that was, I think around the 1900, around 1901, farming took up about 50% of the economy in the United States, and now it's just a few percent, and that's because of all the productivity out there. So rather than farming, we have television shows, computers, all kinds of different things that people spend their time on now, because they don't have to use up their day just providing food to eat to survive. So I think with freer trade, we probably have some more manufacturing, but it's not certain, and I'm not for more manufacturing. I'm for a free economy and let the market decide.
No, I understand. I think that with a lot of the regulations, some of the manufacturers that were here decided to relocate their businesses elsewhere, and I don't think that all those regulations were necessary.
Right. No, I would agree with that, and some of the freer economies out there with free trade, like Hong Kong and Singapore, they have very wealthy societies, free trade and lots of manufacturing and low regulation, and other countries do as well.
Okay. I'd like to get on to a couple of other topics, if I may, talk about the Patriot Act. And I think that one of the problems that, ever since 9/11, the pro-freedom movement has been drastically squelched. Your feelings on both of those matters?
Well, 9/11 was a terrible thing. Terrorists came, and at least that's the story I believe. Terrorists hijacked some planes and flew them into the World Trade Center and brought them down. And that was terrible. My concern and what libertarians have said for years, even many years before 9/11, was that our excessive foreign policy, our excessive intervention overseas, our meddling with other countries, propping up dictators, creates resentment and and create, and we inspire these terrorists to come and attack us here. So that's what I think happened with 9/11. Unfortunately, things like the Patriot Act are a reaction where our government says, well, we have to take away more of your freedoms so that we can protect your freedoms. It's this big brother lie that it happens. But, no, I think the terrorists are winning, and they're winning because we're doing what they want us to do. We're taking, they scare us, we become cowards, our government trains us to be cowards, and we ask for the government to take away more of our freedoms so that allegedly these terrorist acts can happen. But that's not, it doesn't, it's not the way things should be to me. I'm not concerned that once in a while something bad is going to happen. I'd rather live in a free society where there's some risk rather than live in a totalitarian society where there's no risk, it's almost guaranteed suffering. That's what we're moving towards. The Patriot Act is terrible, allows the government to spy on us,
yes.
And governments notoriously do bad things. People who want to do bad things, if the government has lots of power, they want to get into the government so they can do those things. So Patriot Act is terrible. Our reaction to 9/11 was counterproductive.
I have to agree. Of course, one of the things that would have been great is if one of the pilots, even the flight attendants, or someone on the plane, had a piece on them. It's like, sorry, you're not going to get away with this.
Right. Well, and that's a thing. Libertarians don't support a one-size-fits-all government-mandated security policy. So if the government wasn't involved, airlines might have different policies as far as their security policies. Certainly they'd be liable for any damage their airline caused. But the things like security procedures. Some people might want to fly on an airline that allows you to bring guns on. Some might want to fly on one that doesn't allow it. Some might prefer the way a certain airline screens for security issues. But right now we have just that TSA, the Transportation Security Agency, and they treat everyone poorly.
Mm-hmm. On to some other issues of relevance, the recent WikiLeaks, your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm still learning about it, but the main thing is WikiLeaks is releasing documents that some of it's embarrassing to governments and all, possibly some big businesses out there as well. I lean on the side of supporting them as reporter. You know, it's the First Amendment, they're publishing information, and Judge Napolitano's been on Fox News defending what they're doing based on First Amendment arguments. But when you look at the details of what's coming out, most of it's not surprising to libertarians. It's like, oh, this government official said something inappropriate about that government official or their use of influence here and there. That's basically, we're just seeing the normal behavior libertarians would expect to find if the sunshine was put on the government. So to me, it's no big deal. Wow, WikiLeaks is just proving that our government does what libertarians have always suspected they do, behave badly.
Right. With the healthcare situation, what do you feel is the solution, and how can we turn the tide against the recent encroachments by the Obama administration and the bills that were just passed?
I think libertarians support a free market in healthcare. What we have now is so many regulations that it ends up benefiting big insurance companies and the government. And people have forgotten that the concept that you could actually pay for service out of your pocket, not involving an insurance company or the government. Just like when you want to get your car repaired or it needs gas, you just go to a filling station or a different service company. A market for human healthcare would be quite similar to that. I don't know how to get us the government out of it other than, things like Medicare and other programs are becoming so costly that we probably can't afford them. And even if the overwhelming majority of citizens wanted to keep them, they're going to have to be cut back just because there's no money to pay for them. But certainly moving to a free market, get government out of defining what has to be insured and get the government out of licensing and regulating who can be a health provider or doctor. That'll bring down costs, open up the variety, and it'll be better overall.
Okay. I know we, excuse me, just have a few minutes left, but war on drugs, how do you propose getting us out of that? Or how do you propose ending that?
We need more people to agree with that stance, and we're getting closer to that. There was a referendum in California in the last election, and it was close up until election day. I can't remember how much it lost by, but it was several percent, not dozens of percent. So more people around the country are understanding how the war on drugs takes away our freedoms. It creates more problems than it solves, and it's wrong. And it certainly has a lot to do with why there's so much violence along the Mexican border right now. So I think it's only inevitable until that changes.
Hoping it sooner rather than later.
Right.
But I guess
right.
I tell you, there's been probably one of this country's worst policies pursuing this war on drugs, and look where we are today.
Yeah. Just as much drug use as ever, but the thing is, it's a right. People should have the right to do something.
And in the last few minutes that we have, what do you see as the future for the Libertarian Party and where it's going?
Well, I like the views that our party has had. I agree with the policies, and I agree with a lot of the things that we've attempted to accomplish, both in running candidates for office, winning some elections, and also being an activist on public policy. I think the future, though, for people to have a bigger impact is we have to get more people involved, and we have to do a better job of convincing people that the time you spend working as a libertarian activist is worthwhile time, and you are making a difference. So I don't see a big change in the strategy or policies of the Libertarian Party, but I would just like to see us execute it better, implement more things, build the party up bigger.
And, well, I'll tell you what, I thank you very much for your time for this program. This is going to do it for this edition of Perspective. My name is Tony Spezio, and all correspondence can be addressed to perspective01@hotmail.com.
You're listening to Liberty Works Radio Network, a beacon of truth for patriotic Americans, heroes of our Constitution, and our civilization. To join Liberty Works Radio Network, go to www.lwrn.net.